Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that we can come this morning and learn about you and learn what you would have for us in your word. And I pray, Lord, as we do, that we might learn great and wonderful things that would help us to live for you, help us to bring you praise, and help us to be victorious. Pray, Lord, that each and every heart here this morning might be open and receptive to your word. May your word go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are right in the middle of football season. And so I'm wondering this morning, who's your team? The Giants. How many Giant fans? Not many. Green Bay. How many Green Bay fans? Not many. Who'd I hear over here? The Lions. Any Lions fans? No? Who else? We'll get to them. Miami. How many Miami fans? Oh, boy. Who else? Patriots. How many Patriots say? A couple of you. Who else? How many Jet fans? One. Eagles? How many Eagles? Couple. Now watch this. How many Steeler fans? You know, in the middle of football season, whatever season it is, football, baseball, whatever, don't you kind of have a different feeling when your team is winning than when your team is losing? There's something about life when you're on the winning side. I remember when we played softball, our church was in a softball league, we played softball. There was just a different attitude of the guys when we were winning and then when we were losing. It is fun to win. There's something exciting about winning. There's something exciting about being on the winning side compared to being on the losing side. I am thankful that in most of the sports I've ever played, for the most part anyway, I tended to be on the winning side. But, you know, all those times when you're on the losing side, it was never any fun. When we think about life, we have all kinds of people telling us how to be on the winning side. I mean, just think right now what's going on with politics. You saw the debate the other night, and then you saw the weirdest claim I heard after this debate the other night. Absolutely the weirdest, was Al Gore. Al Gore said that President Obama didn't do good because it was the altitude. I mean, of course, he's always into the weather, isn't he? You know, but you hear in politics, and everybody's claiming to be the winner of the debate, and everybody's claiming to be on the winning side, and they're going to win the election. And, you know, we have people who claim to be winners, and we have people telling us how to be winners, and it certainly is better that when you are the winner, winning team, the winner at, dare I say, losing weight, the winner at having a bigger checking account or savings account or bigger IRA, the winner at life, there's that, who's that big tall guy? He's always doing these... Tony Robbins, going around doing all these shows about winning at life. You know, we have all these people saying, here's how you do it. Let me tell you something. There's only one person who knows how to do it. And that's the Almighty Creator of this universe. Because he's the one who created it. And in his word, he tells us how to be victorious in life. We got people running all over the place trying to learn how to be happy, trying to learn how to be successful, trying to learn how to have a better marriage and a better life. In fact, there was a book and a bunch of commercials out. I think the title simply was A Better Life. God's Word tells you how to do that. You don't have to pay any money to get it. You don't have to run from conference to conference to get it. It is right in His Word. You know, some of us are controlled by the weather. If it's sunny out, you're happy. If it's cloudy out, you're sad. If it's warm out, you're excited. If it's cold out, you're praying for it to be warm out. Unless you're my wife. Some of us are controlled by our health. You know, if you're feeling good, you're kind of happy. If you're sick, then life stinks. The world's horrible. You know, you don't have to be controlled by all those things. And you really can live a victorious life and live above circumstance, live above what's going on in your life, and live that victorious life no matter what goes on in life. And it tells us how to do that right in the Word of God. And I'm not even going to charge you this morning. I just want to share with you two things. Number one, here's how to live a victorious life. And it's just really, really simple. Number one, be on the right team. The Steelers, of course. Nah, just kidding. Proverbs chapter 21. Follow reading with me, beginning in verse 30. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Look at that. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, none of that can avail against God if it goes contrary to God. The horse made ready for the day of battle. You know, you can get all your horses together, get your swords, or present day, get your tanks and bombs and rockets and planes. But it's not the size of your army that gets you the victory in battle. Victory belongs to the Lord. You have to be on the right team if you want to be victorious in life. As we fight these battles of life. And let me say, you're going to go through some battles in life. If you haven't faced them yet, you will face them. There are going to be some things that happen in your life that just tear at your heart. You know, there are some people in our church who have lost loved ones. And I can't imagine anything worse than losing your kids. Maybe it'd be losing your spouse, losing a parent. Very difficult. People in our church who are dealing with all kinds of physical problems and having to battle through those things. There are, you know, our economy and the financial mess that our country, in fact, our world is in right now. And sometimes you look at your retirement accounts and see them shrinking and you begin to get nervous as you head towards retirement. Maybe you are retired and you wonder how you're ever going to make ends meet. The reality is we live in a world that is a mess. And although there may be times in life where everything just seems to click, for the most part, this world is an absolute mess. Do you know when they check the history of this world, that every single year in the history of this world, there's been a fight going on somewhere in the world, a battle, a war? How do you live above it all? Well, you got to be on the winning team. You got to be on the winning side. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to say two things. Number one, don't fight against God. The winning side, the winning team is God's team, so you better not fight against God's team. And we see that here in verse 30. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. If you're not on God's side, you're on the losing side. Doesn't matter the wisdom, the insight, the plan, it cannot succeed against God. You know, I read that passage in Acts where Gamaliel said, look, you know, you better leave these guys alone. And he gave two examples of other people who said they came in the name of God and who ultimately fell apart. He said, look, if you fight against these people who are preaching the gospel, you're going to lose. Because if it's of God, you can't stop it. But if it's not of God, there's no way that you can win the battle. I can think back in history of Jonah. Remember, Jonah thought that he can fight against the will of God. It was God's will for Jonah to go and preach to a city called Nineveh. Jonah said, look, I don't want to do that. I don't want to follow God's will. I hate the Ninevites. I hope God kills them all. And he ran away from God. Maybe some of you have gone to Lancaster and have seen the show Jonah, and where they try to show you what it might have been like. Can't win if you're going to fight against God's will for your life. You might be battling in your life God's will for your life right now. Can't win against it, God. I think of the Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul thought that he hated Christians so much, he hated Jesus so much, he thought he could kill every single Christian. And ultimately, on a road to throw more Christians in jail, God got a hold of his heart, and Paul became a believer. And instead of persecuting the church, he began to preach for the church. Why? Because you can't fight against God. You can't fight against God and win. You can't fight against God and think you're going to live in this life being happy and victorious. You just can't. You're wrong. When we know that there are things that God wants us to do and we don't do them, we're really, in our life, fighting against God. We call these sins of omission. It is the quenching of the Holy Spirit where God's moving in your heart to do something and you say no. When you do the things that you know you should not do, you're fighting against God. We call these sins of commission. It is grieving the Holy Spirit. When you know there's something you absolutely should not do and you do it anyway, you're fighting against God. What God desires from our life is that we live our life in the center of His will. What God desires of our life is that we learn what God wants to do and we do it each and every time. What God desires of our life is that we take His word and we dig into it, we learn it, and we follow it. This is the word of God. And it contains God's love letter from the creator of this universe. And in this book, He tells us what He desires and what He expects from us. And if we don't do what is in this book, if we don't follow what is in this book, we are literally fighting against God. It is just like he says here, we have wisdom, understanding, and counsel that we're trying to fight against the Lord, and it's not going to win. Because if you're not on the right team, you're simply just fighting against God, because God's team is the right team in life. So don't fight against God. I know people that have gone to church and they've heard the gospel that Jesus died for them, that he was buried, that he rose again for their sin. And they've sat in their chair and they know what the truth is. They know that they need to trust in Christ for salvation. They know they need to call upon God to save them from their sin. And they literally have held their chair or held the pew that they sat in and kind of shook because they knew what they needed to do and just wouldn't do it. And they would walk out of churches and walk out of evangelistic meetings without God. And they were fighting against God. And that brings me to the second thought as we think about being on the right team. Not only should you not fight against God, but you ought not to live life without God. You ought not to live life without God. Don't fight without God. Look at verse 31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Some people are trying to live life simply without God. They don't hate God. They don't hate Christians. They don't hate the Bible. They're just busy. Have you ever noticed how busy life can be? I mean, if you have young children, you got football on Monday and soccer on Tuesday and piano on Wednesday and something else on Thursday and something else on Friday, and you're running from place to place, and then those of you who have retired, and you said to yourself, I'll just retire and life will get easy. It hasn't slowed down, has it? And then those of you who are in your, oh, I hate to say it, your middle life, like me, You know, you're in your 50s or maybe you're in your 40s and you know, now you got parents above you, hopefully still, and you got kids below you, and then you got grandkids, and you're just running like crazy. Life is busy. And it is so busy that you can run life and go and go and go and go, and you can keep going. And all of a sudden, you go through life and realize, now, wait a minute, where is God in my life? You may even look at your life and say, as a child, I used to go to Sunday school, I used to go to church, and then I became an adult and I didn't have time for God. And I want you to know, if you are living your life without God, it is just the same as living your life fighting against God. Because God wants to be the center of your life. Think about it. The Almighty Creator of this universe wants you involved with Him and Him involved with you. I hear people all the time saying, you know what, I don't have time to go to church on Sunday, I'm too busy. I don't have time to go to Bible study, I'm too busy. I don't have time to get involved in serving in a local church, I'm just too busy. Well, I want you to know, if that's what you're saying, you are too busy. And one day you're going to stand before God and God's not going to accept that excuse. God's not going to accept that excuse. God wants our lives filled with His Word. He wants us studying it, memorizing and meditating on it and applying it. God wants our lives filled with His church, worshiping and serving. God wants our life filled with prayer, talking to God, and not just when we're in trouble. God wants our life filled with talking to Him and telling Him about our life and letting Him know what our needs are, even though He already knows it. He tells us over and over in His Word to pray. In fact, He says, keep on asking, keep on praying, and keep on knocking. He tells us to pray. God wants to be the center of our lives. And if God is not the center of your life, I want you to know, you are going to battle on your horse, but victory belongs to the Lord. Victory belongs to the Lord. If you really want to be victorious in life, God must be the center of your life. Galatians 5:16 says, live by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. In fact, turn with me just one book in front of the book of Proverbs, to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Look at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go out late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. God blesses us with children. He gives us children to fill our lives and children to go about, and notice he says, but unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. You know, we make sure that we take our kids everywhere except to church. We make sure our kids can play football or soccer, but they don't know how to memorize John 3:16. We make sure that our kids can go to dance and go to some instrument practice and do all kinds of things, but we don't bring them to Sunday school and we don't bring them to church on a regular basis. We're bringing our children up without God and we wonder why our families are such a mess. And we're trying to have marriages without God being the center of our marriage and we wonder why it's not working. And we have schools that we're trying to raise children in, but we tell them they can't pray, and we tell them that they can't talk about God, and we wonder what's going wrong with our children in school. We have a society that's trying to push God out of our society. We're not, they say, fighting against God. We simply want to live life without God. And we wonder what's wrong with America and our world. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Victory in life comes from the Lord. You can listen to counsel and teaching and preaching, but we must listen to God's truth. If you're not living in victory, if you're not living in victory, is it because you're trying to live life without God? Is it because God's not the center of your life? Is it possible that maybe you even call yourself a Christian, but you really just aren't putting God in the center of your life? And could it be maybe that you're not a Christian, or maybe you name yourself as a Christian, but you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? You never trust in the cross to save you from your sin? The Bible says that God has appointed Christians to be victorious. We are to be victorious. And sometimes you look at people who call Christ their Savior and walk around with Christ calling themselves a Christian. And they're some of the most unhappiest people you've ever seen in your life. See people going to church in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. And all they're doing is going through the motions. God has given you the victory in the cross of Jesus Christ. We ought to live like we have it. Some writers have written about these verses. Here's what some of them have said. Just as a trained, prepared army can be defeated if God wills it, so also efforts at success in life without God are vain. Someone else wrote, human effort, like human wisdom, has its limitations. It is useless to fight against God or without Him. Someone else wrote, the Jews were to learn that their true defense was not in armies, not in military prowess, not naturally strong fortresses. God was the rock and tower of strength. Ultimate success in life comes from the Lord and not from human effort. You ever see people walking around? They're kind of muddling under their breath. I'm going to be happy today. 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 And they're not happy. If you come to a point in your life where you truly understand what Christianity is all about, I want you to know you can be happy. In fact, you could be much more than happy. You could be joyous. The Bible tells us that there's joy in the Lord. But it's understanding our relationship to Him. It's understanding that we need to have our life right before Him. It is understanding that He needs to be right dead center in our life and what He did when He won the victory on the cross. And freed us from our sin when we trust in Him as our Savior. So let me say, if you want to be victorious in life, you need to be on the right team. But there's a second thing that needs to happen. Turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. And verse 13. You need to deal with your sin. We must deal with our sin. Verse 13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. The way to get right with God is to deal with our sin. Notice in this verse, it first states it negatively. Whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper. The word conceal means to cover up or to hide. In other words, the sin that is in your life, if you cover it up or you hide it, you will not prosper. The word prosper simply means succeed, to be profitable. You know, some people say if you want to prosper in life, you got to have a lot of money. If you want to succeed in life, you got to be smart. You have to have wisdom. You got to have a bunch of degrees. And they list all kinds of things. But here he says, if we want to succeed in life, we need to deal with our sin. We can't conceal it or cover it. We can't hide it. We try, though, don't we? Some simply deny that they've sinned. You know, you ever see kids when they've done something wrong? I saw this thing the other day. I forget what the show was called, but they were showing all these kids getting caught in the act. And this kid had his food. And you know, you could tell he was told by mom and dad, don't leave the table until you eat your food. So he's sitting at the table all by himself, but mom or dad had a camera on him, and the kid didn't know it. So after everybody's gone, he takes his plate with his food in it, and he quietly walks over to the garbage, and he dumps it in the garbage. And then all of a sudden, the parent looks over the counter with the camera like this, and the little kid starts going, ah! Because he got caught. And I think sometimes we're the same. We get caught in our sins, so our first response is to deny that we did it. And then sometimes we say it's not sin. You know, we just deny it's sin. It's something wrong, but it's not sin. We give it every other name under the world, but it certainly isn't sin. Sometimes we blame others. You know, it's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. It's Satan's fault. Or sometimes we even blame God for what the problems in our life. Certainly not me. Sometimes we just change the name of it. We give it a different name, but it's not sin. Sometimes we try to lessen the ugliness of our sin. You know, we say things like, well, it's really not that bad, or I'm not as bad as them. Sometimes we try to make up for it, right? A husband will punch his wife and beat his wife up, and then later on he'll walk in with flowers and try to make up for what he did. Can't conceal your sin and think you're going to be successful in life. Now notice on the flip side, it states it in the positive. But he who confesses and forsakes them, that is, his transgression, his sin, will obtain mercy. Mercy from God. The word confess simply means to say the same thing. It's used all throughout the Bible. Means to say the same thing. It means to acknowledge that what we have done is sin. Sometimes it begins with just life. And simply acknowledging that we are sinners. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, and they ate of the fruit, when God told them not to eat of the fruit, they became sinners. And that sin has been passed down to us, and it has made us sinners. Now, you don't ever have to do anything wrong in your life, ever. And you're still a sinner because of that sin. But because of that sin, we do things wrong. We do disobey God. We do commit sins of commission and omission. And therefore, we must pay the penalty for our sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, both physically and spiritually. And the only way to obtain mercy from God is to confess that we are sinners and to go to God to get cleansing, mercy from that sin by trusting in what God has offered as payment for our sin. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. So if you are born in this world and you live your entire world, let's say life, either fighting against God or without God, maybe even naming yourself as a Christian, but you never come to the point in your life where you kind of stop life and say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe what Jesus did on the cross is payment in full for my sin, and I trust in what Jesus did to save me from my sin. Dear God, please save me. If you live your life without ever having done that, the Bible says you will die and go to hell. I don't say that, except to say God said that, and I'm just repeating what he said. Now, if you trust in Jesus Christ and you do that, you call upon God to save you, the Bible says when you die, you can be absolutely certain without a shadow of a doubt that the very next breath you take will be a breath in heaven with God. Not because you're a good person. Not because you're religious, not because you gave money to the church, but simply because you've placed your trust in what Jesus did to save you from your sin, and you asked him to do that. Now, if you've done that, the Bible calls that taking a bath. You know, when you take a bath, you get rid of the stink, you get rid of the sin. It's the only way to do that. But now, daily, we're still not perfect, so every so often we fail. We don't live up to what God wants to do. The Bible says we need to wash our hands. So even if you are a Christian, even if you have become born again, you still need every so often to wash your hands, and we still need to do what this verse says. Whoever confesses and forsakes will obtain mercy. So you can be absolutely, totally, fully a Christian. But if you have disobeyed God, if you have done wrong, you need to go to God, you need to confess it, and you need to forsake it. The word forsake means to depart. It means to leave behind. In other words, if you have disobeyed God, you go to God and say, God, I've sinned. I confess it. I thank you for the forgiveness you've given me on the cross. God, I am turning away from that sin, and I'm going back to obedience. The Bible says God, in his mercy, will forgive us from all unrighteousness and cleanse us as white as snow. You know, when you fully understand what forgiveness is all about, you're no longer going to be controlled by the weather. You're no longer going to be controlled by what happens in your body physically, because guess what? These bodies, at one point or another, are going to fall apart. Turn with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Follow with me as I read. Unbelievable, tremendous words. Psalm 118, beginning in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Skip down to verse 23. Verse 13. There's so many good verses. Verse 13. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Verse 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want you to know, whether you feel good or feel rotten, whether the sun is shining or cloudy, whether the world is falling apart or everything is going great, if you have a right relationship with God, if you've dealt with your sin through the mercy of God and the cross of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that even if you feel horrible, there's a certain sense, no matter what's going on in your life, because you're on the Lord's side, there can be rejoicing and peace that goes beyond all understanding that can only come from an almighty creator of this universe. And when you get to that place in life where you have that kind of relationship with the Lord, you'll be living victoriously. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you may have come in this morning without God. I want to give you the opportunity right now to get on God's side. Get on God's team. It's real easy. Because God did it. Simply need to put your trust in the cross of Jesus Christ as the sole payment for your sin. Just between you and God, say to God, God, I admit I'm a sinner. But I believe you love me so much you sent your son to die for my sin. I trust what Jesus did to save me. Right now, God, I ask you to save me from my sin and make me your child. The Bible says everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, maybe you're going through difficulties in life and you just feel beat up by the world. You know, God loves you. God is there to help you. All you got to do is ask him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Just turn to God, just between you and him right now, and say, God, dear, help me. Help me to be victorious. Help me to find joy in the midst of all these difficulties. Father God, we love you. And we're amazed that you love us. But we thank you that you do. And I pray this morning, Father, that maybe someone came in today without you and has now found you. And I pray this morning that maybe someone came in struggling. But now they've learned the truth about their struggles. And learned that even with struggle, we can still be victorious. I pray, Lord, that you might encourage those who are hurting this morning. Strengthen, Lord, those who are weak. And help us, Lord, to rejoice simply because this is the day that you have made. And we're thankful to be here. We're thankful that you are God. Father, I pray your blessing on every life that is present this morning. And Lord, I pray as we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper this morning, that you may be honored. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.